That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
What? That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
A what?
A really, really, really gay podcast that we call That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
That's a gay ass name for a gay ass podcast.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? It is me, Eric Williams, and this week is a treat because we have Marissa Bode on the podcast, who plays Nessa in Wicked and Wicked for Good, the squeakquel coming out next month. But before we get into the chat with Marissa, I thought I would celebrate Halloween and Wicked with my Judy's Darby Lynn Cartwright from IMHO The Show and Meatball from Slop Seconds. Now, all three of us do have ADHD, so we tackle a lot and nothing at all. Please enjoy this wicked gay ass ep with Marissa Bode and Darby Lynn and Meatball. Welcome, everyone, to That's a Gay Ass Podcast Halloween edition. Hey, Darby, Meatball, can you do your best impression of what a werewolf sounds like on Halloween in 3, 2, 1, go?
It's not a full moon.
And that's right. You're both correct. And I'm so thrilled to be chatting with two of my favorite girls. And thank you so much for getting into Quick Drag for That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
I didn't get into Quick Drag. Meatball, did you get into Quick Drag? I think
I'm
you look beautiful.
I'm fully painted. I'm mugged.
Yeah, you look great.
Yeah, mugged within an inch of your life. Now, Darby and Meatball, we're here to talk about, yes, Wicked for Good, because if you don't know, Marissa Bode, the gorgeous star who plays Nessa in the films, is here on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. But before we get to her, I would like to see how we are all feeling about Halloween and Wicked for Good. Before Wicked, do drag queens dress up for Halloween? Are you tired of dressing up? What does Halloween mean to you and your spirit?
I don't like Halloween. I feel like I dress up all the time. I think there's two types of queens. There's those who like love the holidays. There's the Christmas girls, there's the Halloween girls. And then there's like the queens that are like, I dress up every day. I'm not making new stuff to wear one night. And yeah. I also feel like as a drag queen, I get to dress up and play fantasy games all the time with my brain. And this is the one time of the year that we should let normal people who have office jobs and no personality go do something fun for themselves.
Let them have it. Yeah, I don't work as much around Halloween because I'm classically beautiful, but I know Meatball has to work a lot around Halloween, so that must be difficult. But I would say, no, I don't dress up, but you know who loves it?
Who?
Alexis P. Bevels.
Really?
Does she like Christmas too?
Not as much as Halloween, no. But she loves couples costumes. Like last year, she and her boyfriend both went as Jonathan Van Ness.
That's not a couple's costume. That's just two people dressing up as one girlina.
As a couple.
Listen, no one
is more perfect for Jonathan Van Ness than Jonathan Van Ness.
They should have done Jonathan Van Ness and Chaz Dean because it's kind of the same costume.
Chaz Dean.
I don't know what that is.
Shout out. Chaz Dean when has the billboards.
He does the billboards.
Oh,
in my neighborhood, they're
yes.
all over.
Yes. Yes, 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 queen work, mama slay.
You know, I love when there's a Jonathan Van Ness and a Chaz Dean who's like he, him, but also like hair down to their ass and fully French manicured nails. I think that's so cunt.
That's scarier than a werewolf.
Wicked!
I thought you both said that you woke up recently and yet you're so fully in the mask.
Listen, Eric, we have made careers on being clowns. We've done this to ourselves. And so now, whenever we're asked to do anything, we have to be on.
We can turn it on and turn it off.
Turn it off. Yeah,
as
you don't want to see my tears of a clown.
Sure. Wait. This is so, okay, so many things to discuss. Not only is Wicked for Good coming out in like a month from almost today.
How did you just wake up and yet you have a giant coffee? Do you get that delivered?
No, I live really close to the coffee bean.
Not that. It's like not walking distance.
No, but it's literally, I'm not kidding you, from when I get my car till I get out of my car, it's 2.5 minutes.
Wicked!
Wicked!
Sorry, Eric, you were talking?
I just think that when we think about Wicked, it really is a big part of our gay ass history because I was 14 years old when I first saw the national tour. I want to shout out my first Elphaba with Stephanie J. Block,
Holy shit.
Yes.
Wow. Get out and stay out.
And I will. And she was joined by Kendra Kassebaum as Glinda, who is also from St. Louis, like me. And she was so effing funny. And I wish I could go back and look at that playbill to see who else was in the cast. Because it was like the first tour to go through St. Louis. I had seen, the first time I'd seen anything about Wicked was I was at theater camp, naturally. And they played Adina's performance from the Tony Awards. I was too young to know that she was flat, and I fell in love. What was either of you, can you give me your first time seeing Wicked? Do you remember who you saw or who your faves are? What's your history with the show?
I saw the touring cast when it came to Houston, and I want to say my Wicked that night, or my Elphaba that night, was the mean girl from Sabrina the Teenage Witch, the original one.
Oh my God, she played Nessa on Broadway. She was Nessa.
She was Nessa on Broadway, but I think she like filled in for Elphaba at mine in Houston.
Shut up. And
she has like, three names. She has three names.
Something Ashley Green. Stephanie Ashley Green. Something Green. Look it up. I know you're on your little typing machines.
I'm looking it up.
Her Wicked Witch of the East song. I have watched that clip. It's the best one. Yeah. Well,
it's Jenna
Shoshana
Lee
Beans.
Green.
Shoshana Beans. Yes.
Jenna Lee Green.
Yes. Shoshana also, because she was Elphaba, obviously, but when she was the understudy for Adina, she would sometimes go on for Nessa. Now, her Wicked Witch of the East is so good. She's my favorite Elphaba. I don't remember my first Elphaba, but can I tell you my first Glinda? You'll die.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so excited.
My first Glinda, Chicago, Illinois, Third Row Orchestra, Annalee Ashford.
Oh, Cunty.
That was the first time I'd ever seen Annalee Ashford. And then I was hooked.
Oh, my God.
And now I'm obsessed with her.
I dare I say she probably was the best Glinda to have Glinda'd.
Mm-hmm. I have to be honest, she kind of ruined Glinda for me, for anyone else.
Are we
else.
Trying to erase Megan Hilty?
No, Megan Hilty's brilliant.
Megan Hilty's brilliant, and you're right.
I would say Megan Hilty's my number one Glinda, if I had to pick.
I think she's my number one.
Yeah.
And then Annalee is number two?
Annalee's number two for sure.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Number three is that Korean one. Y'all ever watch the Korean musicals on TikTok?
Have you seen the German one?
Oh, no.
Where she flies over the audience with like
I've seen.
I don't want that. I don't like audience interaction. Stay out of there. Stay out of my space.
Then I always think, so she flies up there and then everyone in the balcony just like sees her kind of land.
I don't know. I've never sat in a balcony.
Oh, neither have I. That's why I don't quite understand the mechanics.
Without giving too much away, I've mentioned a couple times in the pod, I went and saw the taping of Wicked One Wonderful Night, which they're doing like an NBC, like huge televised celebration of Wicked
for
Good.
I can't handle that. That would upset me.
Is Ariana going to be there?
Ariana's there. Cynthia's there. Bowen Yang, Ethan Slater, Marissa Bodhi.
Is Michelle Yeoh there? Does she sing live?
Michelle does not sing, but she does present.
It's Elphaba.
I guess Defying Gravity, naturally. Cynthia's singing. She comes downstage, and all of a sudden the music stops. And of course,
I'm thinking, well, I've worked in Hollywood before. Something went wrong, everyone. It's okay. They're going to restart.
No, they were pausing it because they had to bring down the flying equipment for her to go Beyonce style and fly past the Mez. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, I'm sure I'm completely allowed to say whatever the fuck I want, but Cynthia flies.
She used her big hands as wings and took off.
Exactly.
Will y'all be seeing the movie? I saw the last one 5 times.
I saw it 3 times.
Will you be seeing it high first, or will you see it sober and then
high? Great question. Great question.
These are the things I have to think about. Because if you drink, then you're going to have to pee, and you know it's long.
See, I don't really drink at all, so I don't have to. We'll take.
You're not better than me.
And
sorry,
I think
what?
I am.
Yeah, does that make you feel good, Eric? That make you feel good?
You fucking bitch.
I drink half a PBR on Wednesday, and I still feel like I'm going to die.
I drink 3 tequila sodas. And I
Can I tell you, Meatball, you were actively in a bad mood until you had had your second tequila soda. And then everything changed.
You know what's fucked up is that's how I felt yesterday. I was in such a horrible mood. I saw a play. I won't say what it was, but I saw, I think, what could be considered a bad play. And then...
Wicked.
It was not. It was the play Wicked. And I was in such a terrible mood. And then that later that night, like around 5 p.m., I sat on my balcony. I had a sip of a joint and I was immediately like way happier than I had been before. And I was like, see, drugs are good.
Yeah, it was self-medicating.
Self-medicate, for
Which
sure.
I'm not above. To answer your question, though, I think that the first time I see it, I might have to be completely sober. And then the second time I see it, I'll be blazed out of my mind. How do you feel about that?
I love that. I love that idea. I don't know what I'm going to be. Because if I have a good day, let's say, they're rare, but they happen, maybe I'll do it sober. Yeah. If I have a bad day... maybe I'll do it high.
Wait, here's
really, I'm not
question.
Doing it for me. I'm just trying to keep everyone around me safe.
Of course. Everyone around me is going to be safe as long as no one's fucking singing along.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
bitch.
They won't.
And they won't.
Are you going to do the marathon where they're showing the first and the second, and then you're going to do like a 5-hour?
No, thank you.
No, thank you. I think if I do anything, I'll watch the first one at home to like refresh maybe the day or two before, and then go see it. But again, the ADHD. They were lucky that they had me in the theater for the first one the whole time.
And they had me the whole time. Yeah.
The full 5 times.
Full 5 times. And then I learned you can actually get up and leave at a certain point. I can't remember which song it was, but I would tell everyone, oh, just leave. Go pee during this one song.
Oh, I Am a Simple Man.
Yes.
That's yeah. The
Sentimental Man.
Sentimental Man, yeah.
Okay, same thing.
She just got done sleeping.
I've just woke up.
How long have you been up, bitch?
You know that
Since
Alexis.
You
want to
say you're better
you know
than
Alexis. Peepa, yeah. Did you go to the gym today, Eric? You already been to the gym?
Thank God for you thinking I go to the gym. If I'm working out, it's either a YouTube arm thing, or if I'm at a Korean spa, I'll go to the gym there for a few minutes.
Okay, I want to say this, and I want to say this seriously about Wicked for Good, the movie. I am so excited for number one, No Good Deed. That fucking sends me to the moon.
What is her riff going to be? What is her riff?
I know. Thank goodness. That sends me to the fucking moon.
Yes.
Wicked Witch of the East, I heard, is actually in the movie.
Yes, but...
I love that.
And it's going to be so good because we love Nessa Rose.
I don't
Nessa.
I'm embarrassed to ask this, but what is the Wicked Witch of the East song? How does it go?
Save him, please just save him. My poor Bach, my sweet, my brave him. Don't leave me till my sorry life has ceased. Alone and loveless here, just a girl in the mirror. Just her and me, the wicked witch of the East. We deserve each other. It's Except so in good. This film, she'll probably be doing that while flying around.
While flying around.
I love
the
that song.
She looks in the mirror and is like...
She's in the mirror.
Screaming at herself.
Oh, I can't and you can wait. Hear,
there's so, you should go on YouTube and look it up because there's some really good ones.
The Jenna Lyons one. Yeah. And the Shoshana Bean.
Shoshana Bean, for good. Yeah.
I'm excited to hear For Good. And will I cry? I think I will.
Oh, I'm going to fully cry. I cried during the first one. And I am a tough shell to crack. And I was in the theater like fully
I cry bawling. When I listen to Defying Gravity in the car. When they do the ending, when you hear the end of Defying Gravity.
Was that nice edit?
Oh, my God. That makes me get chilly willies.
What kind of car do you have?
A Kia Niro. Thank you for asking.
You're crying in a Kia Niro?
Is that the electric one?
Hybrid.
Oh,
ooh.
You guys, I feel like I'm being a bad host because I have to rein in whatever's happening. And that is going to be my segue into our final chapter of this interview, which is before we get into Marissa's interview, since Wicked for Good is coming out November 21st.
Are we going to get to meet her? Is she coming up after this?
Yeah. Can she come to my house?
Can she come here?
Let me
I
ask
live
her.
In
Marissa,
Studio
she's...
City.
She's sitting next to the waiting room. Slippers right now. Marissa?
She puts them on. She just starts flying around in the back.
She's flying. She's immediately
Marissa,
on the ceiling.
Come down. What the fuck? Come down, girl. Girl, come down. She doesn't want to. She actually doesn't want to. But
that's crazy.
She's currently...
Meatball, say your exact address. Say your street address and maybe she'll hear it.
I've done that before. I regret it.
Oh.
I regret it. Since Wicked's coming out, and obviously I'm going to be equal parts thrilled and devastated that our Wicked journeys will have ended with the second movie coming out.
No, what it'll never musical, end.
What
it'll
musical
never
do you
end.
Think should get a huge, big budget Hollywood telling, much like Wicked? Are there any musicals I think could live up to the gravitas?
Can I say this? I don't think there are a lot of musicals who can do what Wicked has done. Mm-hmm. And I think I would love a pro shot of some shows, like Hamilton. Yeah. I think Mean Girls would have done so much better in that.
Yes.
In that way pro than shot, the movie. Yeah. The movie sucked.
It was and so it, bad.
It's in large part because they cast a non-singer in the lead role. I hate that.
Why?
Shit.
Why did I they do that? That was that girl ever in the musical?
I don't. She shouldn't have been. She sucked.
Because she was flat the whole time. There was like
she's not a singer. Anyway, so most
Gina,
musicals.
Why'd you do it?
Why? Tell us more.
See, I had low expectations when I watched the Mean Girls movie on the from the comfort of my couch, and I actually liked it more than I thought I would. But again, I had heard people talk about it.
I got
so.
It. I got
what
it.
What is it?
Dear Shrek the Musical, but it's. But it's with Shrek. Like, they do, like, the next Shrek movie is just Shrek the Musical.
That would be fun.
What's the big song that Brian D'Arcy James, Big, Bright, Beautiful World.
Okay, he is an incredible singer. He was terrible on Smash, but he does the Barrett's song on the musical Titanic. You ever seen Titanic?
No. Mm-hmm.
His song is fantastic.
Well, good for him. I would mm-hmm. say mine would be a musical that got no justice. It was cut short because people were dying. But I would like to see Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark as a film.
Yeah, me too.
Did the story make any sense?
Me too.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, it I heard that too. Show was...
Nothing.
Wasn't it the Spider-Girl?
It was supposed to be the Spider... It was supposed to be Madame Web, basically, as the villain. But then, like, there was no plot. And it was
they forgot the plot.
They lost the plot.
They lost it.
And people kept getting hurt because of the stunts. And it was more of a spectacle. But I think, hey, while we're making all these Marvel movies, just make a gay sing-along one.
That is... You know what? We are an untapped audience in terms of big budget adventure musicals. And I think that Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark in IMAX...
Mm-hmm.
Would actually
IMAX 4D. I want to feel the web on my face.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm sorry. While we're doing gay talk, I'll never be able to say this anywhere else. I think what we need to do with the last 5 years is we need to pretend that never happened, and we need to pro shot it. And what I want them to do, I want Jamie and Kathy to both play the piano. Okay, I saw this production of the last 5 years where while Jamie's doing his song, Kathy's playing the piano, and vice versa. It was the most life-changing thing. I'm sorry, Anna Kendrick's a little bitch. She's not a little bitch. I shouldn't say that. She's talented.
She believes in herself more than I believe in her.
Whoa. Yeah. Yeah.
Because Anna Kendrick's never coming on this podcast.
Wow.
I got my ticket for the world we run. Tomato whiskey for the way. And I sure don't
Darby, you strike me as someone that maybe performed that in drag.
Can I tell you, I tried once and I could not remember the hand movements.
See, when you're practicing at home, it's fine. But when you're in a loud, noisy bar and there's people talking and
you're
trying to do like a low tempo.
I'm such a dumb bitch. Maybe Anna Kendrick does deserve props because she did something I couldn't.
You're spinning me around. I actually think Anna Kendrick is... An incredible.
Put her in Wicked. Let's remake Wicked with Anna Kendrick in both parts.
Yeah, singing at herself.
Wicked!
What about
Eric,
Dr. Jekyll
don't
and
scream
Mr. Hyde?
Wicked. That's crazy.
Yeah,
we would never do
in the
that.
House.
Wow.
His husband. How dare you?
I walked out of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Jekyll and Hyde, the musical, because it was Constantine Maroulis from American Idol.
Ew.
Hey.
He has a great voice, but. Can he sustain? No.
I think I
and
like
I miss Deborah Cox because
oh,
I walked out.
Yeah.
That song,
Wait,
though.
And, what's the one where it's like, I wake up early in bed by 10. So bring on the men. Bring on the men.
Oh, bring on the men's in act one. I saw that.
That's
I missed, and then act I missed two is in his eyes like and you. Someone like you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone. God, I love that song. That is one of the
Me
best.
Too.
You know what? I'm thinking about future jobs for Eric right now. Let's make Alpha musical movie.
Thank you.
And have Eric do what?
Buddy the Elf.
Be Buddy the Elf.
Oh.
She doesn't know the lore.
She doesn't know the lore. I play Buddy on tour.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's incredible, Eric.
Twice. 2014 and 2018.
That changes my entire vision of you. Wow.
Yeah,
I love that.
Good or bad? Good or bad?
Yeah, good or bad?
Good. No, good. Good. I had no respect for you. This is incredible news. That's amazing.
Well, I stopped doing musical theater because I was only getting cast as Buddy the Elf and also not getting paid enough, and my body was hurting. And so I decided I'm going to make my millions doing what? Gay podcasting. And
podcast, yeah. How's that working out?
Well, you know, the Ruby Slippers are about to be going on Facebook Marketplace because I would love to what? Pay my rent. But that being said, besides that, everything's good. Everything's Gucci. Wait, we have to celebrate that Kathy Griffin did this podcast, and that was just
that was amazing.
Buddy the Elf. So let's say thank you to Kathy Griffin for coming on. Let's say thank you to Marissa Brody for being here. Her new face looks gorgeous.
It looks gorgeous.
She's just, I can't say enough good things. She just showed up and just like, you know, she was for this little gay podcast to get Kathy Griffin. And she just was such
she loves gay.
And we love her. We also love Marissa Bodie. So we're going to get into this interview with Marissa. Before we go over though, Meatball, Darby, will you quickly tell these gorgeous listeners where to follow you?
Yes, I will. You can follow me at Sloppy Seconds Pod on all platforms. Go to YouTube. We've created our own YouTube channel for some reason. So now all of our stuff's over there. I mean, we still have stuff on Mom, but like
at Sloppy Seconds Show. There's two S's in there that are right back to back. So that's
what I said.
But
that's what I said. Yep.
Sloppy Seconds Show. You got to put the at.
If you don't use the at, your phone will turn off.
We don't.
No, it's silly. And IMHO the show everywhere. It's fine.
And you can follow me on Instagram at spiciest meatball, or my Twitter is fat drag meatball.
You can follow me. It's just search Darby. There's not a lot of us. You'll find me.
I've linked both Darby Meatball's gorgeous profiles and podcast, Sloppy Seconds, IMHO, the show. So grateful you all were here to talk Wicked with me, Halloween,
no, thank you.
And Anna Kendrick.
No, you know what? Thank you.
Hey, gay-ass girlies. I just read a romance horror book that I think you'd be absolutely obsessed with. Listen to this. It's called House of Rain by New York Times bestselling author Harley LaRue. And at first I was nervous it would be too scary, but y'all, it's scary and horny. And as a newly self-identified slut, I feel seen. Also, it takes place on a remote island in the Pacific Northwest, which I think the Pacific Northwest canonically has the hottest people. So if that doesn't make you squirt, babe, I don't know what will. Also, the book has so many gay-ass themes. I'm talking family drama, there's rumors, manipulation, and again, it's horny as hell. Now, the writing is also so good that it moves real fast and there's kink in it, and you will not be able to put this down. Harley LaRue is a queer writer who gets it. You can find House of Rain by Harley LaRue wherever books are sold, in print and in ebook. The gorgeous deluxe hardcover first printing is only available for a limited time, so grab yours before they are gone, babe.
And now let's kick it off to my good Judy, Marissa Bodie.
Get off the ceiling! Oh, there she goes.
Meatball, do it. One. Meatball, one, two, three.
Ooh.
Marissa Bodie is on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. And yes, Marissa, we are going to talk about Wicked, but since you've been asked about Wicked ad nauseum, I want to dive first into theater school nightmares. Marissa, you went to AMDA in Los Angeles. Any horror stories, trauma dumps you'd like to give?
Oh my gosh. I really did have a lot of great teachers, and I have such a love and appreciation for teachers in general. I'm trying to think if there is like any teachers. I honestly don't think there was any teachers that I hated in college, thankfully. I really did love my... He taught a few different classes. Shout out to Bon Tempo. His name's Jim Bon Tempo. But I really loved him as a teacher. Like, he was so good at not just scene work, but really pinpointing what makes a person feel, and just really great with character work and storytelling in general. So I really loved him. Had a teacher named Drew Barr, who I love dearly. It's funny because I took one of his classes via Zoom. And when we were back home during the height of COVID times. And I mean, COVID is, of course, still around. But after the final for his class, and we didn't have anything else to do, we all collectively played Among Us on Zoom, which was really fun. Also alongside Drew Barr, our teacher, which is really fun because I think that was like one of his first times playing, and we were like trying to teach him how to play. But yeah, that was really fun. I had a handful of teachers I really loved there. But honestly, yeah, I don't think there was, like, there was maybe one or two that I was like, okay, let's reel it in and get a grip. But most of them, like, yeah, there was none that I really hated. Can't say fully the same about high school. Although, like, there truly was only one teacher that I was like, I think you actually hate children, low-key.
There are some teachers that should not be given the certification of teaching. I mean, I think that theater school as it is already a different world. If I may, I had, like you, great teachers, very grateful for so many of them. I did have one crazy moment where the famed actress Felicity Huffman was walking through the halls of my acting school. It was the Atlantic Acting School, and she was, I guess, one of the founding members. Long story short, she walks into our voice class and she says, "Does anybody want to do a scene for me? I'm a overeager Virgo." And so I say, my hand goes up, immediate mole. I then do the gayest version of John Proctor from The Crucible. And after the scene, she starts to give notes. And I'm probably still a very active listener. You know, a lot of like, sort of like to take the feedback and put it into my body as she's saying it. A lot of high eyebrows. And as I do that, she goes, "Do you make fun of all of your teachers?" I take a pause. I look shocked. And then my 24-year-old voice teacher goes, "He does. He does." And I was like, "You shut the fuck up, this straight 24-year-old man." Anywho, I've not been cast to work with Felicity Huffman. And I take it as her thinking I was trolling her as she gave me feedback. But we live and we learn, Marissa. We live and we learn.
That's wild. Like, I don't know. I feel like and it's probably just because I'm also a very physically active listener in the way that I nod my head constantly. But that's only because I also want to make sure the other person knows and can see that I'm listening and visual that I'm fully listening.
No good deed goes unpunished for us active listeners, Marissa. And that's what we say. But see, listen, I'm glad you let us go back into the memory banks of theater school. But I think that we also need to touch in on the fact that we're both gay ass Midwesterners. You are from Wisconsin. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. I need to know, were you out in high school? Did you come out after heading to Los Angeles? What's the gay ass journey there?
Yeah, no, there was no way I was coming out in high school. I'm trying to think. Honestly, I think I only knew outwardly anyways one person who identified as lesbian.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know this person that well. Like, they were chill, but like, I just wasn't super close with them. But like, they were publicly, or just a lot of people knew that they were out as lesbian.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then one of my other friends came out in high school. One of my other friends, I think, came out in high school. But even then, like, I don't know. I think it's because I had already felt like such an outsider going to a PWI where there was zero diversity in general. Like, only
can you tell us what PWI is?
A predominantly white institution.
So sorry. Thank you.
Of course. And like, I think truly only one other person in a wheelchair at my school. And so I already felt like an outsider in a lot of ways. And don't get me wrong, like, I love the community there, a lot of the community anyways, and there's a lot of great people there. But you can't, when everybody does look so similar to one another and I'm not that, it's hard to not feel a little bit outside the box. And then coming out would have just been like one more thing on the list at that time to make me feel a little bit of an outsider.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like my town where I grew up felt very split in terms of viewpoints, where half of it was more progressive and the other half was not that. And I grew up hearing gay as only an insult, really, or as like a joke type thing. So I internalized it to a point, and I just was not comfortable. I was always, of course, like very supportive of the community and of course supportive of my friends that did come out, and really admired that they had come out during high school, but I was just not there yet at all.
Exact same.
But I knew for sure. And yeah, honestly, and this is so silly goofy, but honestly, being online, I think so much in 2020 when we were all at home, specifically that damn clock app TikTok, I found so much community on there, whether it was the disabled community or even the queer community, and seeing people live so authentically really did give me a lot more courage to come out myself. And yeah, it's funny because I literally probably the year and a half to 2 years, I'd say year and a half, I think, to coming out, I was like kind of purposely dropping little hints that were obvious to me. Like I would be like blasting Softly by Claro and Girl in Red at the top of my, at max volume, singing so loudly in front of my family. And then like, dude, the day that I came out, I was like, to my brother, I was like, it's Gay Pride Month. Cause I came out during Pride Month. I was like, it's Gay Pride Month. Did you know that? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, and what if I was queer? He's like, okay.
Come on, ally, like, brother.
None the wiser. I will say the funniest thing, when I did come out, what I did was they were dry as hell, I will say. They were not good. But I baked these little pastries, and then I put the frosting in the colors of like the bi flag. And then like I put a little note by it being like, oh, what did I say? Oh yeah. I said, roses are red. Have one of these hand pies. Happy Pride Month. Surprise, I'm bi. It's like corny. And then like, I was like, hey guys, to my family. I was like, hey guys, so I made dessert. Come and get it.
Marissa, that's the gayest way to come out, baking pastries during Pride Month.
And they weren't good. They really weren't.
Gay people, we don't need to be good. We just need to be gay. And a lot of times we are good, but sometimes we bake dry cookies. And that is okay, because what? Love is love. I have to say, though, you giving like Easter eggs of your queerness is just high level gay. It is just full of taste. But I think you also have taste when it comes to, you talked about fellow queers from the Midwest that you look up to. You said that Chapel Roan speaks to you. But because we're talking about our gay assery and our growing uppery, I do need to ask you the famous gay ass podcast question, which is, Marissa Bodie, whose fault is it that you're queer? Who do we blame, babe?
Oh my gosh. There's so many people, actually, specifically, are rather characters, I will say.
Oh, please.
So many. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I definitely had a lot of bi panic watching Danny Phantom, for sure. Both with Danny and, oh, my God, what's her name? I'm forgetting.
Mrs. Phantom. Do you, since we wanted to go into the specifics of it all, do you identify currently as the B of LGBTQ? Are we the L? Are we the Q? Are we the plus? Who are we?
I would say, I mean, lately, like this past year, I've just been saying queer more because, like, I don't know if I want to label it. I would say, like, I have an attraction to men, but, like, I definitely have a preference at this time anyways to women and non-binary people. But, yeah, I would say queer for sure.
I think that's the beauty of the word queer. I mean, it's funny, like, when I would talk about the podcast and just like working with many queer people, I remember my parents were surprised to hear me say the word queer because it had such like a negative undertone when they were growing up. And I do like how normal now it feels to say queer and how positive it feels. Cause I think it's like, you know, it's the way so many people in, whether it's the queer community or the disabled community, sort of like reclaiming our strength. And I think that for you to use the word queer is like a beautiful way to sort of encompass just who you are and not make any decisions, because the beauty of queerness is that it can change. And like, I'm still learning new things about who I'm attracted to, and I'm 36 years old, and I hope I continue to grow in my gay assery and my sluttery and my hornery and my wickedry. And I think that you giving that answer is a stunning honesty of where you are right now. So I say cheers.
Cheers to being queer.
Hell yeah. Hell, absolutely yeah. So we say Danny Phantom is a gorgeous reference giving you bi panic. Were there any other, I mean, actually the question really is like, as we are theater people here and very obsessed with Wicked, were you growing up in Wisconsin? And will you say the name of the town? Because I shudder to try to say it. What is that?
Mazomany.
Thank you so much. Mazomany sounds like it's Wizomania's squeakquel. Mazomany, Wisconsin. Did you have either any cast recordings, pop girlies, boy bands that really spoke to you growing up?
Oh my gosh. I grew up on a lot of different music. My dad likes a little bit of everything, but he was definitely grew up, or just like a lot of like Nirvana, Alice in Chains, like a lot of like grungy, Soundgarden, a lot of like more grungy music and alt music. And then my mom grew up on like, or like I grew up listening to a lot of like Motown and just this like disco and also what's the genre? Oh my God. It's literally not R&B at all. What's the word? Like soul, which R&B derives from, of course. But yeah, funk. Yeah. So I guess I should say like a lot of like black oldies, I should say. Yeah. The Beatles, via my dad, also like who doesn't grow up on the Beatles, but definitely heavy on the Beatles when I was younger for sure. But yeah, I grew up on a little bit of everything. And then in terms of like music that I was drawn to, I definitely had so much of an evolution. I did grow up really loving a lot of musical music. I loved The Sound of Music when I was younger. I grew up on that. Little Shop of Horrors is probably one of my favorite soundtracks ever. And then in terms of like music, I used to be very, very obsessed with Justin Bieber when I was younger. Anybody that knows me knows that. Like it was
so you really are into lesbians.
He did have lesbian cut haircut for a spell. He really did look like a little lesbian butch when he was younger, for sure.
A handsome lesbian. He really did. Yeah.
A very handsome lesbian. So yeah. And then when I turned 14, I went through, as 14-year-olds do, this like angsty phase where it's like, I'm done with pop music. I'm going to listen to underground music like Lana Del Rey. So I went through that era, a lot of Arctic Monkeys. But I do think, and like that was like a huge Tumblr era too, where there was a lot of queerness on that.
Tumblr.
Yeah. Tumblr was a time.
It really was.
There was like in there's like a corner within the alt scene where there was queerness also. And I think I embraced that too. And unfortunately, I did go through a phase for a little bit of like, I'm not like the other girls type shit. Oh, can I curse on here? I don't remember.
Please, sorry. And we hope you do. And we hope you do.
Okay, great. But yeah, I went through this I'm not like the other girls phase within me listening to more alternative like indie music, which also, again, like I think translated with queerness of me being not like other girlies.
That's a great way to put it, though. I think that when a lot of us are growing up, we find ways to set ourselves apart from the mainstream crowd, whether it's our own listening of music or Tumblring or whatever. Because I mean, this is going to be such a niche reference that maybe four people listening will know. But there was a singer named Fifi Dobson. And Fifi Dobson had a song called Take Me Away, which was in a movie called like The Perfect Score, I think. This was years ago. However, Fifi Dobson, honestly, you could play Fifi Dobson if she ever gets a biopic. I don't know why they would, because she has one album. But Fifi Dobson has this like edgy, sort of punky, but also poppy sound with a lot of harmony in the background. And I was like obsessed with it. But it was a way that I felt like I was not listening to the same shit, just like getting on Tumblr. And I think I just want to like reference for a moment, we talked about TikTok, we talked about Tumblr, and I do think social media is rotting our brains and taking all of our self-worth away and doing many, many damaging things. However, we are allowed to also say it has connected us to communities and like you connecting with whether it's the queer community or the disabled community or just feeling seen. I do think that there are those positives that do come out of it. I mean, you have posted so many funny things about your life, whether it's Wicked related or otherwise. But I think that you've also, it's been so cool to see your rise, especially with getting cast in Wicked. And I've read about in some of your interviews about you first saw Wicked when you were 12 years old. You saw the tour in Wisconsin. And I find it to be so incredible that you saw the show at 12. You then 8 years later, I think, audition for the movie. And then however many years it's been now to be in it is crazy. But as a gay-ass podcast, do you remember, I have to ask, do you remember what Elphaba you saw or just any of your favorite Elphabas in Wicked Herstory?
Oh my gosh. I do not remember the Elphaba who it was. I think I was so just focused on the show.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
That I was not even like registering who played what fully anyways. I did Google, I think, and I also don't remember who it was, but I did Google who played Nessa Rose because I wanted to know if she was actually disabled, which unfortunately she wasn't. But yeah, I don't remember. And also unfortunately, I feel like I'm not in tune with all the Elphabas of Wicked Past, name-wise, unfortunately.
Hey, that's okay. You've clearly been able to find an amazing Elphaba in Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande as Galinda. And the fact that, I mean, I was talking with your team before we recorded about how the press tour has been, I think the press tour for the first movie should receive awards for how much they had you all do. Slight moment for myself to tell you, I auditioned for the Target commercial where people were going like, did not book, but it was an honor to be considered. For Wicked for Good, you have had so many crazy experiences just in the build up to it. I know that for the 2025 Oscars, you were at the Vanity Fair Oscar party, which was a gag to see you not only looking stunning, but just picturing someone going from AMDA to then going to these big parties. Did Oscar night give you any sightings that made you gag? I know you're used to being around many a celeb now, but were there any people that gave you that pinch me feeling?
You know, you would think that I would be used to it, but I still am not, like at all. Oh my gosh. This was like near the very end. I was like trying to like squeeze past people and I saw Olivia Rodrigo. That was that was wild. I also was fully talking to Renee Rapp, and it was so dark in there that I didn't realize it was her, but literally very briefly. I had bumped into Bowen and said hello, and he was talking with Renee, who I didn't realize was Renee. And I was on my way to the bar at that point. I was like, I'm gonna go get a drink. And she's like, it's that way. And I was like, cool. She's like, I'm Renee, by the way. And I was like, oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. So that was wild.
Well, listen, Marissa, I hate to cut you off, but we only have a few minutes left and I have to make sure to get to our final gay ass podcast questions. My final gay ass pod question is, if the world was ending, you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
Oh my gosh. If we're talking the Wicked world, honestly, I do think I would say Kiala, because she's just like such a lovely person and so good at what she does. So I think I'd say Kiala. And then if we're talking in general, I'm like, who's a classic actor, actress that's like really been in my noggin? Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Let me think. Everybody struggles, by the way. This is a very tough gay ass question, so you are not alone. And any answer you give is the correct answer.
It's probably a tie, maybe, between Viola Davis, just because I think she's like just very classic, like great, just like great repertoire, in my opinion. And also just because I like this person as a person. In general, Jane Fonda, question
mark? Gorgeous. Marissa, you have outdone yourself, because listen, Viola Davis, 100%. Gorgeous character actress, amazing range of characters. But also, to give us Jane Fonda, a woman who is an activist, who is an actress, but also picturing yourself around a bonfire and a glass of wine with Jane Fonda, are you joking? That's my favorite types of character actresses. Add Viola Davis, the stories, the giggles, the tales of us complaining about men. Oh, can you imagine? Marissa Bodie, truly a stunning answer for character actresses for my Wicked questions. And I have to say, before we end this, Wicked for Good is premiering November 21st, and the first movie, it was so effing incredible to see a show that I first saw as a 14-year-old, which was 22 years ago, and to see you be a part of Wicked and Wicked for Good, and to talk to you in this gay-ass podcast has been such a gift, and I cannot wait to celebrate you again when the second one comes out. So let me ask you for our send-off here. Marissa, can you tell these listeners where to follow you, and if there's anything else you would like for them to know?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram and TikTok. I think they're both Marissa_EDOB. And I think that's basically the main two that I'm on, really. I mean, I guess my YouTube, but I don't ever post there. I think it's Marissa28, I think. Yeah. And any messages, if there's not any disabled people in your circle, ask why. Learn more about disabled people. Actively try to learn your disabled history, because it wasn't taught to us growing up, not in any K-12 curriculums that I know, really. And yeah, uplift disabled voices. Speak out also for your disabled peers, because we cannot do this all on our own.
So well said, Marissa Bodie. And I just cannot say enough good things about your work as an actor, as an advocate, and as a gay-ass star. Marissa, stay gay, stay fabulous, and I cannot wait to celebrate you on screen.
Thank you. This has been really fun. I'm excited for this one.
Can't wait. Thanks for joining me in this Wicked Gay Ass podcast episode. I'm so grateful to Marissa Bodie for joining us, to my Judies, Darby Lynn Cartwright and Meatball. And I hope you have an amazing Halloween, whether that is at home watching scary movies or out in the world slutting it error. Speaking of slutting it up, the bonus episode for this week is with Camden Garcia, the very sexy stand-up comedian, with some incredible stories about growing up a child star and stage door manner. So if you like theater, gay assery, and hornery, go to substack.com/@EricWills. And I hope you have an amazing Halloween. Stay gay, stay wicked, and... So sorry. You've been listening to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, hosted by me, Eric Williams. If you want to see and hear more, make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and follow the Instagram at Gay Ass Podcast. For more gay assery, the real girlies are over on Substack, where you get bonus episodes every single week and live chats with me and other gay ass guests. That's a Gay Ass Podcast is executive produced by Eric Williams and produced by Nathaniel McClure. We'll see you next week.
Ever wondered if that UFO sighting was a secret government project?
Not because they didn't go to the moon, but because they seen something on the moon they weren't supposed to.
Or if ancient civilizations really had alien architects.
Like, so Roswell, obviously they think they recovered crafts and beings.
On Theorist Theorizing, wild speculation meets seasoned storytelling.
How they dug 2 kilometers below these pyramids and created all the structures that we're now finding.
Join the theorists as they dive into UFOs, cryptids, government cover-ups, true crime, and the weirdest theories the internet and humanity has to offer.
Giza and the pyramids itself being an energy source, you know?
It's not a lecture. It's a round table of curiosity, comedy, and what if.
Maybe they got tipped off by these U-boats that fled to Argentina, that there was something there.
Theorist Theorizing. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.